This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Different ideas, different approach, younger, determined players. And then probably, to answer your question directly, fixing the power play.
All righty then. It is the beginning of the fallout from the Penguins' early exit in the postseason as Jim Rutherford there, the voice, the general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins, now looking over his team and wondering, what the heck am I going to do to fix this? Two straight years of disappointment, and now changes are coming, apparently. And that's according to Jim Rutherford. Now we just are left to figure out and to wait and see what exactly those changes are. And with that, I welcome you into the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole with you to about 5:40, on the air at least, for the Fan Morning Show pre-show, and then producing the Fan Morning Show after that. We've got a ton of stuff for you throughout the morning, so stay tuned right here at 93.7 The Fan. But some of the talk, at least today on the Fan Morning Show, and for to start the show today, will be about what Jim Rutherford said about this team. As he says, changes need to be made, and that's obvious. That's to be expected when a team that, you know, gets bounced that early, falls much short of expectations. There's going to be changes, and GMs are going to say that about their teams, but what does that look like for the Penguins? Jim Rutherford, more on what those changes might be like.
This could be a year where we try to get younger, but in a way that we feel that we can still win, bring that new young energy in.
Okay, so GMJR says that they need to be younger as a team. Well, who does that single out? You first look at Jack Johnson, and I know that is the name that oftentimes gets brought up the most as the very weak link of this team. He's out there, and you can obviously tell that he just doesn't fit. He's slow, he's lumbering around, and it's especially true whenever you look at his contract and what he was brought in here for, the money that he's making, and people want to jump all over Jack Johnson. Well, Jim Rutherford, what do you have to say about him?
I know everybody picks on Jack, and they have for a long time. And I think in that pairing, Justin Schultz had a lot more to give.
Oh, so he instead goes after his line mate instead of Jack Johnson. It is and has been, and I think it's dumbfounded a lot of people, so odd to me, this loyalty to Jack Johnson. I don't get it. I don't know if it's because he's just a nice guy, because he's friends and he's longtime buddies with Sidney Crosby, because, you know, he feels bad about the money issues that he's had in the past with his parents basically taking all of his money from his first few contracts in his career. That's been well documented. Maybe it's the backstory on that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Or maybe he's that stubborn about signing him to that deal that he is refusing to give up on him. He's older. He's slower. He seems to be that guy that Jim Rutherford wants to get rid of on this team. But yet he doesn't say or anything really about Jack Johnson and goes after Justin Schultz. Now, he's not going to rip him right now because he might be looking to trade him. I understand that. But he ends with Justin Schultz and calling him out, the unrestricted free agent, and that just about ends his Pittsburgh Penguins career, I would think. So then you look at an aging core, and this is what the conversation has turned into. After it's another year of the Malkin, Crosby, Letang era, and you look at those ages at 33 for Letang and Crosby and 34 for Gino, you look at his, we need to get younger comments, and you think, okay, well, what does that mean for those guys, Jim Rutherford?
I plan to move forward with the core. You know, these are good players. And they still have good hockey left in them.
So Letang seems to be safe. And that's really what the conversation is. I don't know if anybody really wants or expects either one of Sid or Gino to go. But Letang is always that name that's being dangled out there in the offseason as a guy who you could probably move on from, and I don't know if people would be outraged if that happened. He's someone that's polarizing, debated on, and I think it would make some sense to move him, especially now. In the past, I wasn't as much on board because you knew exactly what you were going to get from Letang. You knew that there was always going to be a positive and a negative to him, that he was going to provide an offensive spark from the blue line that you just don't see around the league very often, and that he was a valuable piece because he brought that, but he also would make some really dumb plays and has throughout his career and still does. But that was the checks and balances, the positives and negatives, and in the end, for the most part, the positives always outweighed that. And you kept him around because of what he could do to help out your offense. And because he just eats up minutes, game after game, year after year. But now it seems more likely than ever that you could get rid of him and not necessarily, you know, see the negative effects of that because of the emergence of John Marino behind him. And again, it might be that Jim Rutherford isn't going to go ahead and call out Letang or say that he is a trade piece because maybe there is some dangling out there for him. And maybe he is going to take any opportunity to even talk up Letang as he enters into what will be a busy offseason. But I think it would make sense to move him now more than ever, especially if you're going to get those younger, even if they are still established pieces in the league, if that's really what he's going for. And then there's Marleau there. He's gone. He's older. That leaves Patrick Hornquist. If we're talking about older players, if he really wants to go younger here, he's another fellow 33-year-old. 3 more years of control on that contract, paying him over $5 million per year. Another guy that you look back at that salary and that extension that they gave him a couple years ago and think, might not have been the best move. He's had some injury issues. He didn't fit well on that third line and is a guy who's shown some age. And he brings that intangible. He plays like I don't think a lot of people play on this team. He's willing to go into those dirty areas and scrap in front of the net. He's always done that. But if you're looking for a shakeup, that might be a guy to go as well. I know there's team control on him, but maybe because there is so much control there, and that number at 5.3 is a little high, you might have to package him with somebody else. But maybe he's one to go as well, as much as he is a fan favorite here. And for me, Connor Sherry, even though he's not necessarily older, he doesn't bring much to the table. I wasn't completely on board with bringing him back to Pittsburgh. I mean, it was a good thought maybe to bring back the old times, make some of that chemistry click again with Sidney Crosby. It wasn't there in his return to Pittsburgh. And so I think he would be a guy that would be shipped off as well. And then you look at the goaltenders. Jim Rutherford also talked about that as well.
Tristan had an exceptionally good first half, made the All-Star team. Matt was the better goalie in the second half. And my assessment of our goaltending in the playoffs where our goalies were good. I can't point the finger at the goalies. the problem he had is the goalie at the other end was great.
Okay, I can get on board with some of what he says there. Matt Murray being the better second half goaltender, yes, but not by much. And the goaltending in the postseason being good, oh, okay. Yeah, they were definitely outplayed by Carey Price for sure, but not necessarily with Tristan Jarry, although we only saw him, of course, at the very end of the series. You're going into a flat cap into next season. You just found out your guy is not Matt Murray for the future. Really, that's what we discovered in this postseason. So you run him out there in trade talks. If push comes to shove, he asked for too much as a restricted free agent. You got to let him walk. It's too important to add around the core rather than spend money on a backup goalie, which I think Matt Murray has become. And that's what we saw as a result of this postseason. And so, yes, it's always good to keep as many goaltenders around as possible. It's kind of like pitchers in baseball. You can never have too many of them. But you can, in this case, whenever they're eating up a lot of salary and whenever you need to, it's desperation time to take advantage of what is a always shrinking, quote unquote, and we love to use this, you know, coin term in sports, the championship window with guys like Crosby and Malkin. It's more important to add around those two guys than, again, a backup goalie. Two straight years where the Penguins have looked lackluster. And I wonder how much is Mike Sullivan culpable for all of this. He's going to be around for next year. And I'm not advocating that he should be fired in any way. But how much of the onus comes down on him? And I think it's going to look like a firing of maybe Mark Recchi. He's going to be the fall guy in the coaching staff. He was tasked to figure out the power play, and that was a mess. So I think he's a guy that you might see go. So what will all these changes result to? Who knows? But I think Jim Rutherford right now, for as good as he's done here in Pittsburgh, and as he's brought two Stanley Cups to town, and he kind of changed the trajectory of what was looking like the back half of the Crosby, Malkin, Letang era as really a disappointment because they had only won one Stanley Cup and it had an 8-year streak where they're in the postseason and came up short time and time and time and time again. Now it's crunch time for Rutherford, and we're really, I mean, this might be more impressive if he brings this team back to Stanley Cup contenders and if they win another one at this point. With the aging stars, with bouncing a cap that's not necessarily in a great place, with considering a pandemic. And that's just something that is out of his control. And now he's got to build up this roster to try to, you know, take advantage of these next 3, 4, 5 years left of quality hockey that he can get from his stars. That's, to me, going to be even more impressive if he brings them back from this. And it's going to be, I think, a long road to get there. And as he kind of alluded to and mentioned, a very busy offseason for him. And it'll be really fascinating to see the decisions that he makes during this offseason. All right, coming up next, some things you may have missed from yesterday, including suspensions from a brawl and just a marathon hockey game and what the fallout could be there. And then to end the show today, college football, yeah, it suffered its first conference casualties yesterday. What's the impact of that? And the Pirates suffered another injury. But I really hope that it doesn't serve as this one thing as we move forward. That's all next. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. It is the Early Morning Show. Some things you may have missed from yesterday. Let's get after it.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, the first is from Jerry World and from the Dallas Cowboys. As the NFL, I guess all eyes are turning toward them as there's more turmoil in college football. Its conferences are canceling their fall football seasons, and so is the NFL going to make this thing work? Well, for the Dallas Cowboys, they are using the Omni Hotel adjacent to the Ford Center, the Cowboys' indoor practice field. They blocked off rooms at the hotel for players to form a training camp bubble-like environment. And so they're basically allowing these players to stay at this hotel. They're going to pay for all the accommodations there just for them to stay in that bubble and stay away from everybody else. Not a bad idea, really. And especially if you've got the money to throw around to just to pay for these guys to stay at these hotels for the rest of training camp. But these might be the ideas that get the NFL over the hump. We keep hearing about how the NFL, more than other leagues even, is so structured. It's militant-like, and that I heard on Amy Lawrence's show to begin today as I was preparing for things. Militant-like in how they go about their schedule and their travel plans, and they do certain things on certain days, and that's definitely true. And it's something that you can follow even as a fan of what the team is doing day after day throughout a week. So more hopes, I guess, that the NFL can have a full season despite what's going on in college football. Also from yesterday, the fallout from the brawl on Sunday between the Astros and the A's. Ramon Laureano, the center fielder, 6 games suspended, an undisclosed fine for charging the Astros dugout and causing the benches to clear. And then Alex Cintron, the Astros hitting coach, who really made everything pop off by saying something about his mother, 20 games and an undisclosed fine for his role in inciting and escalating the conflict. Not necessarily sure, you know, what a 20-game suspension really does for, you know, a hitting coach. It's not necessarily, you know, all that meaningful, I wouldn't think. But Laureano, definitely one of the top players on the A's and their center fielder, suspended 6 games for that. I guess that sounds just about right. Also from yesterday, Hard Knocks. Remember Hard Knocks? Whenever he was supposed to come to Pittsburgh after they missed the playoffs for a second straight season, and everybody was kind of disappointed in that, including myself. Well, it's going out to L.A. with the Chargers and the Rams, and apparently Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn reveals that he had COVID-19 in the opening scene of Hard Knocks. It took less than 5 minutes into the 15th season of the show for that reality to set in, as Anthony Lynn fired up the Zoom on his laptop computer and delivered the news to his players. And so that's how everything begins. So a little, I guess, spoiler alert there from Hard Knocks if you plan on checking that out. And then finally from yesterday, a crazy game in the Stanley Cup playoffs as Braden Point finally lifted the Lightning past the Blue Jackets in a wild 5-overtime game. Game 1 of that series, it knocked off Boston and Carolina until 11 a.m. today. They couldn't even get in their game in the Toronto bubble after that, or else they would have been starting around, I mean, who knows, 11 o'clock, 11:30, midnight. The game started at, what, 3:09 yesterday and ended at 9:22, the fourth longest game in NHL history before the Lightning got the victory there. It shows the importance of goaltending, I guess, as Corpusalo for Columbus broke the record for saves in a game. I think it was 85 saves he made throughout that game and still lost. And that'll be the impact of the rest of that series, I would think. I mean, those guys, they probably spent so much. I can't imagine that the level of play, even though you couldn't really tell, but the level of play was there even into the third overtime, let alone the fifth overtime, as these guys were just dog-tired. And then, finally, Tampa Bay wins that game. And so we'll see how the rest of that series plays out. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Columbus can never quite recover from that, losing a 5-overtime game in Game 1. And so I guess still interesting things happening in the world of hockey, even though the Penguins are, of course, out of it. Coming up next, some college football news and just where we stand on this fall and what we're going to see as far as college football. And then a thought about the Pirates as yet another injury goes down and happens in 2020, and it's another top pitcher. That's all coming up next. It is the Early Morning Show. I'm Matt Cole with you here for a few more minutes before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. Plenty of stuff to get into throughout the Fan Morning Show today. Matt Clement, former Major League pitcher, joins us for his usual spot, but at an hour earlier, not at 8 o'clock, at 7 o'clock today, he moved up. Mike Casazza, West Virginia writer for 24/7 Sports, has been all over everything that the Big 12 is doing and deciding whether or not it wants to play college football this fall. He'll join the show at 7:45 today. Steve Jones, voice of the Nittany Lions. Jim Colony can do that better. 8:30 today, he'll join us. And then at 9 o'clock, Dave Reed from the NHL Network, analyst there. He's joined the show before, always very good. He'll join us for some fallout from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Again, very early exit in the postseason. So all of that coming your way on the Fan Morning Show after this. So college football suffered its conference casualties yesterday. Despite Big Ten coaches like Ryan Day at Ohio State and Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, Scott Frost at Nebraska, James Franklin at Penn State, all of those guys saying they want to play and continue this thing, the Big Ten, along with the Pac-12, canceling the fall football season. And the fact that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 medical experts say that it's unfit to play in these conditions, and then the medical experts from the ACC and the SEC say it concluded that it can be conducted safely, tells you all you need to know about how this entire return from the shutdown has gone and really how the world is working right now as we try to get things back, where one person is saying one thing, another person is saying another thing, and then who knows, maybe tomorrow those opinions might flip-flop. And we're still on either side of each other. We just think different ways, and we've gone on to do this for months now. And it's hitting college football as they don't have much of a voice up from the top, but are just following, I guess, guidelines from their experts and coming to different conclusions. And let's just get one thing out of the way here. There is next to zero chance that football is moved to the spring and is going to be played in the spring. It's not going to work. The NFL won't move their draft back to accommodate it. I know they have a set date. I think it's in early June, as much as they, as far back as they want to move that draft. But even if they would move mountains to make that happen, I don't think the athletes would want to play that close to their first professional, potential season. And I really don't know what else would be changed by that point, unless there's a vaccine in place. Like, who knows if it's going to be any different by the time a spring season would start? Who knows, in January, February? So the next question becomes, will all conferences bail? They see what the Big Ten, the Pac-12 have done. Do they just follow suit here and say, okay, you know what, it's time for us to go as well? I wouldn't think this would be the time to concede to what others are doing, because they haven't done that throughout this time. Going to all conference aside, they definitely did fall in line with each other there in kind of planning out those schedules. But I would think at this point that the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12 will be sticking to their guns as far as going through all of the options, and I'm not saying that the Big Ten didn't do this, going through all the options possible before they cancel a season. And will we still pay attention if only half the nation is still playing? If we do move forward without the Big Ten and the Pac-12, as fans, I guess, will it still be the same? And maybe that's not as important as the players actually getting another season to play games and to try to make a living off of this thing. The guys who want to show off for the NFL draft. I don't know. These are all questions that we are now left to face with college football. And I'm surprised. I don't know why I am surprised every time that things get canceled. And maybe I have too much faith that people, see the benefits of what is going on here, the risk and the reward, and go instead with playing games rather than canceling things. But I've got to think that at least with the SEC, they seem to be taking the hardest stance, and really the ACC too, and saying that they're going to move forward with things. I think it's going to take a lot for them not to at least try this out. And I don't know if that is necessarily a bad thing in college football. And quickly, before I end the show today, now Joe Musgrove is on the IL to just add to the comedy of errors that the 2020 season has been for the Pirates. All of these injuries now for them, and it's a long list. Phillip Evans, Joe Musgrove, Nick Birdie, Michael Feliz, Mitch Keller, Chad Cole, Kyle Crick, Clay Holmes, Luke Bailey, JT Riddle, Chris Archer, Kevin Kramer, Jameson Taillon. All guys that have been or on the injured list. I just really hope that these injuries don't serve as any kind of excuse for what's going on here. The 3-13 record. Or that it's not impediments to making decisions about this team for 2021. I hope it doesn't mar what Ben Cherington sees when he evaluates this team overall. And I think that's some of what we heard from Neil Huntington in the past. Of, well, we had all these injuries. We know the 10,000 simulations quote as well. They weren't going to have a strong bullpen. And the fact is that even their lineup with the regulars have been worse than what we thought. And so I hope that Cherington isn't looking at all these injuries and will, in retrospect, and not make, you know, a ton of changes or not, you know, see things for what they are, and that this organization is severely lacking talent because of all of these injuries. And I just keep thinking that as I see more and more of them pop up, and this time with Joe Musgrove. All right, let's end the show today with this.
It's time for Gone in 40 Seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
It's a bit wacky, I admit, but I saw that the NBA has made up awards for the season. It'll honor the player of the seeding games, effectively the MVP of the 8 seeding games held at Walt Disney World, and it'll also name an all-seeding games team. So they're making do with an unusual season and not giving things the same name. I think this should apply to baseball. In this 60-game season that might not even be 60 games for some teams because of cancellations, to give out the same awards by the same name doesn't seem right. I'd be okay with not even giving out awards for the season, but if you really want to, maybe come up with a special name. More like a tournament MVP award than a season or a league MVP award. Maybe the COVID awards. Anyone? I don't know. Just a thought. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, partly sunny and humid at a high of 90, and then tonight, clouds breaking, humid as well, a low of 68. Pre-show next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.